You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight I began thinking about perspectives. What does it mean to have a cultured perspective? You know, I thought maybe that's what I'm looking for, a cultured perspective. But you know, that's not it. That is not it. I thought about maybe a real perspective. Real. But that's not it either, because you know what? A lot of times, what is real anymore? What is real? Real to me is almost an enigma. It's kind of vague. Then I thought about, what about authentic perspective? That sounds good. Let's think about and cultivate an authentic perspective. But then I was like, But how do you become authentic in order to have an authentic perspective? Good question. How do you become authentic in order to have an authentic perspective? You know how? You become authentic by being present, by being human being, by being present. So let's discover tonight what a present perspective is. A present perspective, meaning that you are present. You are in the now, you are here, and you are being, and you are here. So tonight's show is dedicated to helping listeners develop and cultivate their present perspective. You know, in order to really begin to talk about this present perspective concept, I want to talk about what happened last night. What happened to me last night? What happened to me? Not you, me. I'm just kidding. What happened to me last night? I'm driving, I'm leaving the office, I had gone to the grocery store, it was about 8 o'clock, and I turn to make a left on a very busy street, and a lady decides to jump out and start walking on the street. So I stopped, I came to a stop, and I didn't get angry, I didn't get mad, I didn't honk my horn, and I kind of looked at her. Because there's a lot of cars coming, and I'm the only one that stopped. I'm a little frightened in the fact that I might get hit from behind at this point because there were other cars possibly coming that way. But I knew that not everybody was going to stop for her, and I was a little concerned for her safety. So I looked at her, and I kind of motioned back, and she decided, you know what, it's a better idea if I go back and wait for the light to change. And then, you know, walk across the street at the right time with the walk light and the sign on and all that good stuff. I didn't get angry. And as I kept on driving, I see an SUV pull out, run the stop sign at 35 miles an hour, and it was a huge Yukon. And it belongs to a hotel in the area. Had I not stopped for the lady, had I not cared about humanity, and because I kept my cool and didn't start honking my horn and forcing her back onto the grass without, you know, with no inclination, because I took my time and I was conscious and I did the right thing and I thought about it and I acted for someone else's benefit, good things happen. And what happened is I wasn't T-boned last night coming home. Had I been just a few seconds earlier, had she had not jumped out in front of my car, I probably wouldn't be here to do this show. I'm not saying I'd be dead, but I'm saying I would probably be in the hospital dealing with some major issues. And, you know, it was interesting because in these situations where odd things happen, where we label them as being different or odd, a lot of times we don't always see what the possibility could have been. However, last night I got to see it. Had I not stopped for that lady, had I not cared for the human being, had I not cared for human consciousness, had I not cared the fact that she's a person and I should stop. And that had not had happened, something would have happened to me. And I think it's very interesting. And to me, that defines the present perspective. When you're not in the present perspective, you see the woman as just a jerk. Why does she have to jump out in front of my car? Why does she have to be so jerky? Why can't she wait for the crosswalk sign? What is she on? Is she on drugs? Is she drunk? I'm going to beat my horn at her. I'm going to beat my horn and so loud until I can't beat my horn anymore. But think about it. When we're not in our present perspective, what does it do to us? It takes us off target. It takes us from living our life correctly. Maybe it actually even puts us in harm's way because we're not observant and we aren't compassionate. When we are observant and compassionate, that to me is like the double, like the rings of fire. You know what I mean? I don't know. Olympic rings came to mind. I don't know why, particularly the red and green. I don't know why, but you know what? It reminds me of like power position. Aware. Observant. Think about it. Present. In the moment. Because when you're in the moment, you see things for the way that they should be seen, not from a spectator position, not from a, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, and I don't really know, and I'm going to make judgment calls on all this stuff because I am fearful of the unknown, I'm fearful of the new things, and I don't know what's going to happen. So right now I want to talk about random acts. The random acts that happen on a daily basis. And I think most of us freak out or label them as bad, problematic. And instead of actually doing what we should do, which is look and observe, we freak out. We label them. We label, oh, my God, this is toxic. Oh, this is bad. Oh, this is problematic. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But it's like we have to look and observe. It puts us in a place of learning and not judging. So when we deal with these random acts, right, we're able to see them for how they are, what they are, random acts, but we don't judge these random acts based on any soul purse judgment. Because you know why? Because we're actually, when we're in the present purpose, the present perspective, we're able to learn and not judge from these situations. And to me, when we're able to learn and not judge, it takes us out of the judging position. It takes us out of watching from the sidelines. Instead, what happens? What happens? We learn. We see things for what it's reality. We observe consciously. We go through a process. And we're able to systematically see things for what they truly are. And I absolutely love that. We're able to see things for what they truly are. And we're able to understand things. So, for example, I could have freaked out about her jumping out in front of my car. I could have gotten angry. I could have screamed out the window, yelling profanities. I could have just been like, oh, another drunk person going crazy. Get out of the way. I mean, there's all kinds of things I could have done. However, instead of doing all those things that probably wouldn't have done me any good, I was compassionate. I didn't want to hurt her. I didn't want to scare her. So I stopped. I stopped, even though I was a little concerned for my own well-being. I was hoping nobody would hit me, but it didn't happen. I was keeping an eye on it, but I knew she deserved the right to walk if she wanted to. And, you know, there's some cities that are much bigger walking cities than other cities. And sometimes in the city that I'm talking about in particular, like, walkers have a difficult time. Now, I've almost gotten hit several times walking in the city because, you know, most people are always driving. They don't think about people walking. They don't think about how people actually have the right of way. Walkers have the right of way. And so I wanted to stop to be courteous. And I was able to learn from this because later on, as I'm driving down the road, and I realize right then and there when I see the big SUV run the stop sign at like 30 miles an hour, hauling butt, I realized had I not had stopped for her, those were seconds of time that would have sped me up to be right there in the wrong place at the wrong time. And to me, that's a present perspective. And how many times do you know people that actually get it, that completely get it all the way, that understand the direction, that understand where we're going, that understands the whole end-all be-all about what this actually means, because that is the present perspective. When we return, I'll be talking more about the present perspective, how to be in it all the time, and how to deal with judgment and how to get out of judgment and begin living your life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're thinking about the culture perspective tonight. We're not really thinking about that. We're thinking about the real perspective. No, not that either. Is it the authentic perspective? No. Because in order to have an authentic perspective, we have to live, we have to be in the present. So we have to really orchestrate what could be considered a present perspective. And in that case, we're able to see things for how they truly are. I was talking about last night's issues, festivities for some, issues for others, where I stopped for a lady that jumped out in front of my car. And instead of labeling it, getting angry, getting mad, getting violent, beeping my horn, freaking out, instead of all that stuff, which a lot of us have a tendency of doing, instead of doing that, guess what? I courteously stopped. I had compassion. I observed. I saw that she wanted to cross. I was going to give her a chance to cross, but I really didn't think it was a real safe thing because all the other cars weren't stopping, and I think she figured that out eventually. So she ended up going back to the corner and waiting it out. However, later on, a few seconds later, as I am driving down the street, an SUV jumps out and runs a stop sign at about 30 miles an hour, making a huge curve around and would have actually T-boned me if I would have been there just a few seconds earlier, meaning that my stop for the lady, my compassion and my observation saved me. Had I not had stopped for her with compassion, I would have been T-boned by that SUV. Think about it. Wouldn't have been a good scene. They also had a cow horns on the front of their car. That wouldn't have been good for anybody. And it's an area hotel kind of car, and that wouldn't have been good for anybody either. Because I'm sure the guy was just rushing to get somebody to pick up somebody, and there he was probably being yelled at to get there faster, which is not a good thing. However, I would have been in a problematic situation and maybe not even here tonight to do the show. And I think that the way that she jumped out in front of my car, I consider a random act. These random acts are things that when you're not in the present perspective, you have a tendency of labeling them. You have a tendency of thinking that they're bad. They're not very good. When they come around, you freak out a little bit, get a little angry, sweat a bit. You also have a tendency of just seeing it as problematic instead of what you should do, which is what I did, thank God, that actually saved my life, is that I looked and I observed with compassion. It put me in a place of learning without judgment, being in the present perspective, that is. Because I'm a present active participant, actively participating in allowing somebody to cross or not cross the street. And as I see it, every minute is an opportunity to learn. Every single minute of our life is an opportunity to learn. And as we learn a new lesson, we learn a new situation. And what I learned is that, you know what? My compassion saved my life. And we're able to learn things that we never thought we could learn when we actually live in the present moment, because we no longer see these things as happening to us, as somebody's pushing all the buttons and maintaining this and hurting us and causing us pain and suffering, all this pain and suffering. Instead of all the pain and suffering, we see as though we are an active participant. We are able to change, create, modify these situations. You know how they always talk about how, you know, life is a choice. We have free choice. We have the choice. We have the choice to do what we want to do. We have the choice to have a great life. We have the choice to totally, ultimately screw it up. And for some of us, we've done this before. We've tried to screw up your life situation, and we realized that doesn't work very well. All that did was screw us up, messed up our life, and put us into a bad situation, and we got very angry. However, what do we do? And I figured out in life, the best thing we can do is to begin by realizing when we put judgment into our lives. Because you know what? Judgment takes us out of living. And I know you go, what in the heck are you talking about now, Ashley? No, seriously. Judgment, when we begin to judge things, we're no longer living those things anymore. But what are we doing? We're judging them. So instead of trying the piece of pizza, taking a bite of the piece of pizza, we look at the pizza. We analyze the pizza. We determine if the pizza has sat out too long or maybe is maybe too hot to eat. We look at the pizza and we go, maybe that's too oily. Maybe it's too oily. We start looking at it too and we go, well, maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not all organic. We wonder, is it vegan cheese? Is it not vegan cheese? What about the gluten? Is there gluten in the pizza? If there is no gluten, then we must have quit. No, seriously, think about it. We have to label this pizza slice. There's all these things. And in no way, shape, or form are we taking a bite of the pizza. We're labeling the pizza. We're labeling the pizza. So the judgment takes us right out of living. The first reason and the first way that judgment takes us out of living is what? Gossip. Good old gossip. Gossip, 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 gossip. Boop, 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 boop. Gossip puts us on the sidelines of life. Man, it's a good thing it puts us on the sidelines of life. It just takes us right out of living. Takes us right out of living. I didn't realize this until a few years ago. And what happened was this. I was on the phone with a friend of mine. And it was a friend of mine, and she's a dear, dear soul. I love her. She's a really great person. We don't speak that much anymore. I mean, I still care about her, and I still pray that she is doing amazing. But I remember I was on the phone one time, and she was telling me about somebody had done one A, B, and C. Had taken something, and she was pretty angry about it. And I had never met this person before. And then it was funny because I eventually met this person and I just really didn't feel like the positive, you know, feel good, trust this person when I first met them. And so I kind of felt like my friend was kind of putting the problems on herself. But it was okay. But I remember one time being on the phone and she was telling me about this, this, and that. And I started getting involved in the gossip thing too. Well, I heard this and I ran into so-and-so and they knew her too. And they said that she did this and that and this and that. And all of a sudden, like, an hour goes by. And I was like, yeah, she lied to these people, and she owes this elderly couple money, and she took money from them. And that's not a good thing. I'm not saying, you know, what she's doing is good, but I'm saying, I was thinking, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden, I came out of my life, and I was talking about her life. About all the bad things she'd done, about all the people she'd taken money from. And I started siding with my friend on the phone. And my friend's a good person, and she had been taken too by this person. But instead of doing anything about it, we were just like talking and talking about it. Discussing it. Judging it. Gossiping about it. Gossiping about the girl. Gossiping about what else she'd done. Gossiping about what else I had heard. Gossiping about her lifestyle. And okay, I was no longer living my life. And I felt it. And I remember looking down at myself on the phone, holding the phone, and I'm looking down at my legs, and I'm looking down at my jeans, and I'm looking down at my feet, and I'm like, golly, and I went in the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and I looked at myself, and I go, oh my God, I gotta stop doing this. It's like I felt like I had gone on the sidelines, but I didn't even know it. And like, things were passing me by, and I was just like, whatever, I just kept on moving. And I realized right then and there that gossip takes us right out of living. and takes us right out of living because it moves us from living our own life to living on the sidelines. And I don't want to live on the sidelines. And so when we start to gossip, which I like to call judgment, and it might be the way of life that we've been raised sometimes, because some of us are raised in a family that they like to do a lot of gossiping. And so it might be hard for you to initially slow it down. However, my guidance for you is to begin realizing when you are gossiping, how you exit stage left with your life, and it's almost like you become a judge on a TV show that you have no speaking roles, and all you're doing is just setting judgment for other people. It's like you jump out of your life, sit down on like a lazy boy recliner, and it's almost like you're out of picture. You're out of sight, out of mind. And start realizing that from now on, because gossiping is kind of empty because it doesn't give us anything back. We lose a lot of time, but we don't gain anything from the process. Stay tuned and return. We're talking more about how judgment takes you out of living, things you can do to stop judgment, and also ways to be aware of personal judgment. Check out AshleyBurgess.com as well as the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, 24/7 perspectives. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Hey, we've been talking about the present perspective and how figuring out when we have judgment and looking at judgment and eliminating judgment and realizing how judgment takes us out of living is one of the first precursors to figuring out how to have a present perspective, because this is so important. I mean, gossip to me is one of the first judgments that we can do to take us right out of living. For all you women out there, especially all the women, some of you men, but for all you women out there, you know that when you start gossiping, and it's like time flies by. And to me, it kind of feels a little empty. And I think that if you start gauging yourself, you'll realize it too, that it's kind of empty because there's really not that much going on. I mean, even if the gossip's kind of juicy, that eventually kind of goes away. And that's it. There's nothing else there to talk about. And it's kind of like, it's kind of lackluster. And so I found out that the more that I gossip, the more I feel like I'm on the sidelines. And that is one thing that we have to stop doing to ourselves to actually have a present perspective. And I've realized that because every time that I started judgment calls and I started doing gossip, it took me right out of the present moment. And it's like I lost like my mojo. They took my mojo. You know, the next thing is personal judgment, because a lot of us are not only the gossip people, because sometimes we're not really big on gossip. Maybe you're not very big on gossip at all. You don't like people talking about other people. When people talk about other people, you kindly walk out the room, or you say, hey, I don't like you talking about other people. But that, in that same token, how much do you judge yourself? How much do you judge yourself? How much personal judgment do you put on yourself? And how much of that personal judgment takes you out of living? When we personally judge ourselves on everything we do, what happens? We get scared. We get stressed out. We get upset. We get disappointed. We don't feel like we're good enough. We feel like we're a problem. We feel that nobody's going to love us and everybody's going to totally make fun of us and our ideas are BS. And we look like crap today, and our hair looks awful, and nobody's going to take us seriously. Personal judgment takes you right out of living. I mean, you don't need a judge outside of yourself. I mean, you can be your worst enemy. Because you know everything about yourself. You know how to, like, you know, kind of do the uppercuts, how to really hit below the belt. I mean, think about it. Personal judgment can keep you at home, can keep you away from living your true life, can keep you away from being in the present purpose, because it tells you that you're not good enough. You're going to screw something up. You're the reason this is all going to fall apart. So we have to begin tonight to put back personal judgment, and that begins with realizing when you're judging yourself. Are you judging yourself because you've always judged yourself? Are you judging yourself because of looks? Are you judging yourself because of your mental capability? Are you judging yourself because what other people have said about you? Think about it and catch it before it becomes a lifestyle. And even if it's already become a lifestyle, you can totally change it around by honestly seeing the judgment. So for example, when you're at home and you're about to go out to do something, and instead you're like, oh God, I don't want to go out. Everybody's going to make fun of me. I mean, my hair doesn't look good. I have a third eye. I have like this huge pimple. It's like you got to step up to the plate and realize you are your hardest and worst critic. And life is hard enough to deal with, especially when you add judgment in. Because, you know, later on down the road, that personal judgment wouldn't have really got you anywhere. It just keeps you out of competing. It keeps you out of life. And there was a time in my life where I personally judged myself a lot. I was insecure. I felt like everybody was better. And yes, I was younger, but everybody goes through bouts of this your whole life. But when you go through those insecurities and you judge yourself, I mean, it's just so hard. Life is hard. Because you don't see all the value that you offer. Instead, you see all the deficit. You see all the losses. You know, the next thing is we have a tendency to define everything we come into contact with. Every single thing. Everybody you meet, every product you pick up, every meal you eat, every person you see, everything you see, you judge to some degree. Think about it. Well, was it good or bad? Good example. How was your day? Was it good or bad? I mean, really? Like, this is like kind of like kindergarten, but you know what? You think about it, we all do this. Oh, I had a bad day. Oh, really? Sorry, man. Or I had a good day. Oh, that's good. So what does good and bad mean? Good. Bad. Well, to me, these are very raw kind of syntax. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, I rarely use good or bad. The day was interesting. The day was enlightening. The day pushed my buttons to some degree, but it was still highly educational. The day. What a day. A day of remembering, a day of vigil, a day of riveting, unexpected, amazing, uncategorized awesomeness. I don't know, but good and bad to me does not do me that good. Again, though, when we use the words good and or bad, good or bad, it's like Mike and Ike's. Good and bad. What is it? Good and plenty. Good and plenty. So, good and bad. I mean, those to me are just like the most lackluster judgments there is, but it's used all the time. Is the drink good or bad? Is he good or bad? Is that car, is that good or bad? Is that restaurant good or bad? Was your meal good or bad? How was your day? Bad or good? We define everything. And as we define everything, such as good or bad, black or white. I mean, I personally like the black and white cookie, okay? Because you get the best of both worlds, right? If you like eat it together and you kind of like, you know, chew a little bit and open your mouth in the mirror and look at it, you got a little bit of gray there, right? You got something. So think about it. Good, bad, black, white. Happy, sad. Are you happy or are you sad? These are all limiting definitions, for the life that we live. It's all limiting definitions for the life that we live. None of it is redeeming. None of that defines our life. And extremely, what it does is it judges us and polarizes us when it comes to different things. Do you see what I'm saying? How can something be all good? How can something be all bad? How can something be all black? How can something be all white? And vice versa. How can somebody be happy and not sad, or sad and happy? The thing is that there's components of everything. And when we make a judgment call, we limit the definition of what that can be. Like, for example, how was the vacation? Was it good or bad? Well, I don't think you can define an entire vacation good or bad. Sure, car gets stolen, baggage is lost, kids are crying the whole time. You know, you had people get up in arms and try to fight you on the plane because your kids wouldn't stop crying. You lost your wallet and somebody died on the trip. Probably not a great vacation. It was probably really rough. But bad is not how I would define it. And I feel like we have these cookie cutter definitions, which I like to call judgments, for practically everything in our life. And I like it because I sit down with my clients and say, you know what? It's almost like saying she does this every time. He's always doing this. He never does that. She always does this. The always and the never are the same as the good and bad. They're all extreme judgments. Extreme judgments where you can only think of one to two categories to determine it. For example, oh, when we return, I got it. When we return, I'm going to give you a couple of examples on these because I think they're kind of funny. And I know we all have a tendency of doing this. I mean, I've done it before, especially in couples therapy. I think it's funny. He's always doing that. She never does that. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Brothers, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking about how judgment takes us out of living. Living! I'm winning! It takes us out of living, and talking about good or bad versus black and white. Good or bad, happy, sad, all limiting definitions for life. And in couples therapy and in therapy, you hear people, not always, you hear people say, she's always mean, and he never comes home on time. Okay, always and never don't work in therapy because it's not true. They're not always mean, and he doesn't always come home late. Okay? And so when I'm in therapy with couples and we're doing this, I'll point out the fact you just use the word always. You just use the word never. Let's recategorize that and get rid of that kind of sordid judgment. And I've been there before. But when we do this and we define our life based on these extremes, we limit our experience. We limit the human experience because the human experience was not built on good or bad or always or never. It was based on the situations in between. And I've done some shows on in the past where I talk about how you have like these big things that happen. And in between these big life things that we have happen, we have other things. And those other things are the in-between. And the in-between times between massive changes or major great things or major not so great things happening, those in-between times are what makes up most of our life. So, for example, graduated high school at 18. I graduated at 17. Some of you, 18. I get it. It's okay. It's okay. Graduated, let's just say for everybody, 18. So, graduated at 18 years old. Go to college, right? Go to college. If we were able to or not, some of you might not have been able to make it because you're having to take care of other people. Some of you were able to. Some of you had it paid for by your parents. Other people took loans. Other people scraped and scratched and worked two jobs and went at night and got their degree. Okay, So you either got your degree between the ages of 22 to 35. Let's just say that. Great. At some point in time in between there, if you had kids, you had a kid, or you're about to have a kid again, bam. But think about it. Okay, let's just go from there. You have a kid. That's a big deal. But after that, there's a lot in between times, right? Those in between times are how our life is defined. How we define those in between times is more important. So, for example, if you're one of those kind of people that only live for the big things, the in-between times to you is very boring. It's disenchanting. They're bad. Because you only like the big time. You only like the big things. You are not a big fan of the in-between. However, when you kind of flip-flop it around and realize that, yeah, the big things are the big things and they will be the big things, but if you can enjoy and see the value in the in-between, your life's value changes. Because you're no longer basing it on the big things to happen. You're basing it on what? The present purpose. Because the in-between times aren't necessarily boring at all. We just define it as so. We define it as boring because we don't really see the real outcome. Because we're not in the present moment. Because really, honestly, when we are living in the present perspective, in the present moment, being authentic because we're being present and we are being ourselves, all of a sudden the in-between becomes just as amazing or more amazing sometimes than the big time occurrences. And what I mean by that is last night, my compassion and observation moved me to stop the car when I saw the lady trying to cross over in a busy thoroughfare street. I did not get angry with her. I did not beat my horn. I didn't get frustrated. Instead, I just wanted to see what she was going to do. A few seconds later, after she decided to get back onto the sidewalk and wait for the walk sign to change where there wasn't other oncoming cars coming, because I couldn't stop all the other cars. I could only stop my vehicle. A car runs the stop sign at like 35 miles an hour. Had I not stopped for the lady, I would have been T-bone and probably not here tonight to do the show. This is considered an in-between time, right? I'm not having a child. I didn't graduate from college. I didn't get a $100,000 ring from Tiffany's. Okay, you get what I'm talking about, right? However, to be able to see the intricacies of what happens on a daily basis in the in-between times, to me, brings up the value of the in-between time into another realm. Meaning, you start seeing how attractive and how amazing and intricate life truly is without the need for all the baubles and gifts to entertain you. Without all the need. You begin to not need a bunch of new clothes and a bunch of new shoes, and you don't need to go shopping all the time because that's not really what's propelling your life. Instead, you begin to learn the value of each and every minute as a lesson. It's like a classroom. And I've done a show on this as well, too. My intern, Titan, from this summer, great kid, going to UT now. And I'm impressed. And I definitely will go visit him and go check out UT and act like I'm back in school for a day or whatever. But anyway, when he went back to school, well, when he started school, I kind of missed him as an intern because we had really gotten quite along and he's a good kid. And we were on the phone and he's like, you know, you should come back down. You should get your doctorate down here. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I said, but yeah, it would be fun to go back to school. And then after I got off the phone, I realized, you know what? We are in school. We're all in school. We're all in school learning our life, being one, realizing how important the in-between times are if we get it, if we get to that level. Realizing how amazing our purpose is and realizing how amazingly understanding, but how cool and how awesome our life truly is. It's absolutely mesmerizing. You know, last but not least, judgment takes us out of living. Judging, also, we can judge ourselves right out of an opportunity. We can judge ourselves right out of an opportunity. Instead, an opportunity that might not come up to you, go, hey, I'm an opportunity. Yep, better jump on. I'm an opportunity. Yep. Instead of seeing an opportunity, we sometimes see opportunities as burdens, as a problem, as something that's going to get in the way, as something that's going to be a problematic situation, as something that's going to end up changing things, as something that's going to hurt us. And in the end, we run away from that opportunity. We run away because it's taking our time. I met with somebody earlier this week who used to work with me. And I used to work with them. They were a client. And I was a life coach for them. And I really enjoyed working with them. And however, their family stepped in and decided that they no longer wanted me to work with him. And I understand that the family had issues with control. And so because we were talking and because they were listening to me, their need for control became more erratic and they had to end our time. And he reached out to me the other day and said, hey, do you think you can meet for lunch? And I was like, you know, yeah. And part of me was like, man, you know, I really worked with this person for a long time and kind of feel a little duped. But at the same time, I was like, yeah. And I went out of my way and I did it, and it was the right thing to do. However, it did not pose as an opportunity in the beginning. It was more of me, quotations, going out of my way. But I have a question for you. I think a lot of the best opportunities in the world are things that don't always pose themselves as an opportunity in the beginning because of why. Because if it all screamed opportunity, with 24 karat gold lettering that said opportunity on it, you know, and like, you know, bottles of Cristal popping and club lights all behind it, you know, everybody would jump on the bandwagon. And the biggest thing is that in order to have opportunity, you have to have compassion to some degree, but you also have to be in the present perspective. You have to see things without judgment, to see things from all sides. And I'm not saying, oh, allow this or allow that in your life. I'm not saying just to be easy breezy, because there are certain times where some people will try to take advantage of you, and that's not for you to do. But when you're in the present moment and you're in the present perspective, you will see that immediately. It will come. It'll be like a spotlight to you, because it'll be so far away from your range of the way that you respond and the way you act and how you understand things, because it's not what? It's not truthful. It's not honest. So when somebody comes to you with something that seems a little off, either do some more investigation or let it go, because it seems off for a reason. If you're in the present moment and you're presently involved, you will feel when something's real and something's present and something's right, and you will feel when something just doesn't seem to add up. Stay tuned. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about how to live your life clean and how clean living, I know, good old clean living, how good old clean living will help create harmony in your life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about the present purpose, the present perspective, how we get to that, you know, because I began thinking about perspective and saying, well, it's really a cultured perspective, really. You know, we have to gain a little culture here, a little culture, put a shrimp on the bobby. But no, it's really not that at all, is it? It's more like, you know, an authentic type perspective. But then I realized, how do you become authentic? Because a lot of people ask that question, well, I don't know, what does authentic mean? What do you think it means? What do you think it means? Well, authentic is when you're being you, you're being you in the present, being you with the present perspective, meaning meaning, excuse me, my allergies, my goodness, meaning that you're conscious, that you do the right thing, you think and act for others' benefits, and good things come to you. In the last hour, we were talking about how judgment takes us out of living and how it takes us and puts it right on the sidelines. Man, judgment, enemy number one. Good old judgment, wearing the 00 jersey, comes into your life and judges everything about you. Not only that, you judge everybody else. I'm going to gossip. And I figured out one thing, gossiping doesn't get me that far. It just gets me out of my own life. Personal judgment takes me right out of the game because I just judge myself right out of it. Don't even give myself a chance. Everybody's better than me. And the way we define things, well, that's good or that's bad. How was your day today? Was it bad? Was it good? We define everything in a black and white situation. Good, bad, happy, sad. All limiting definitions for our life. Limiting, right? The human experience. We're actually limiting our experience. Why in the heck would we want to do that? You tell me. We do it every day. We do it because it's hard to sometimes see the forest through the trees when you are surrounded by people who see everything in black and white. To me, when somebody asks me how my day was, I mean, there's always a silver lining, no matter what, for the most part. And there's always that silver lining. There's always that something going on. And so I can't ever define it as good, bad, happy, sad. I normally define it like in a, you know, in a interesting collaboration of a dance. Some things were awesome. Some things were crazy. Some people were manic. And you know what? I made it out. Yay! Woo! God bless us all. Judging judges us right out of an opportunity as well. We don't get to see the opportunities. Instead, we see them as, what, burdens. The last opportunity that came my way was shrouded in a burden, it looked like. This is going to take me time. This is going to create problems in my life. I don't have time for that. Nope. Wasn't true. I opened my mind and I allowed myself to have the present perspective. And I didn't see anything as defined by people that had gone before me. I did not listen to people who told me their opinion and figure that their opinion was more important than my own thoughts. I didn't sit there and think about how other people had told me about one way or another, good, bad, here, there. I thought about it in my perspective and realized, you know what? Nothing in life has a lifetime commitment. With that in mind, if you make educated choices based on a gut feeling, you're usually going to be good. Sometimes we make the wrong choices, but you know what? Most of the time, it's not a lifetime choice, and most of the time, you can get out of it. I've found that if it's very close and you really want to do something, it's better to try it out than to say that you never did it. So now let's talk about clean living. Good old clean living. A little bit of Clorox, a little bit of Clorox 2. A little bit about Clorox for colors. You know, you want to separate your colors from your whites. So, we're clean living right now. All temperature. We're clean living. Living clean. Living your life clean creates harmony in your life. I didn't say drama. I didn't say stress. I didn't say heart palpitations. I didn't say, oh my God, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I said, living clean actually creates harmony in our life. And what I mean by living clean, I think everybody gets it. I don't really think I need to define this, do I? Okay. Living clean is when you're doing the right thing, even though you might have some urges, some thoughts, some inklings, some musings, some whispers. Even though this might be happening, you still do the right thing. And it might not necessarily be gratifying right then. Because usually doing the right thing takes time to multiply. It takes time to build upon itself. just like the accumulation of bad karma takes a long time to build upon itself and eventually activate, and I think some of us listening tonight and myself have been on the side of that before. I have not hurt anybody, but I made some bonehead decisions. And with that in mind, we have a tendency of realizing that you can go one way and absorb this or go the other way and do that. And when we live a clean life, the stress and the burden of not living clean is gone. It doesn't exist. You're not having to look over your shoulder. You're not having to worry what's going to happen next. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, living a life that's not clean living eventually probably catches up to you. No, it eventually catches up to you. A good example is, you know these big drug cartels and these drug kingpins, and you think about that, and they have all these shows on TV. But think about it. No matter how much money you have, no matter what kind of property you live on, if you're not living right, you gotta admit you're probably looking over your shoulder a lot. And I'm not saying that, I'm not just talking to people right now that, I'm not just saying, oh yeah, all drug kingpins. I'm talking about, you know, the way that we do business. The way we treat the people that we work with. The way we treat our family. If we're married, how faithful we are. You know, how honest we are. Do we do things for altruistic reasons or do we always want payback? Right? Think about how many people out there, and I'm sure y'all know a few of them, and I'm sure some of you women out there know who I'm talking about. You have friends that you know for a fact every single time. Every single time you leave their house, they talk about you. That's not clean living. That's making judgments on other people and judging them. And when has that ever worked out? Once the stress and burden is gone from your life, it's like this entire sense of calm kind of cocoons it. And I know in the beginning you're going to be like, man, this is the most boring lifestyle in the world. Never anything interesting. Same old. But you'll end up appreciating those in-between times. And what I'm saying is that the more clean you live, the more interesting things actually get. Because you're able to actually spend time doing the things that actually matter. And what I mean by that is that when we actually are doing the things that matter, that means that we're giving our energy and our power and our pursuits to people who care, that we care about, and we have a future with. Also, it's about giving our energy and time and pursuits to things and items and objectives that can help us get somewhere that are actually good for us. And, you know, I've had friends in the past where they're constantly working on some sort of scheme or a get-rich-quick scheme. And I just don't want to spend time doing that. You know, there's a lot of things out there where I just feel like there's a lot of talk but no action. You know, I feel like there's a lot of companies out there right now that, you know, they sell you a good bill of goods, you know, but what is the real factual backing behind it? Can you actually financially make money and make enough money to secure your family? And a lot of times you have to sit there and look at it and look at it from all angles to realize that some of these things are just another burden. It's going to cause you stress and it's going to cause you anger because there's something not honest about it. Stay tuned when we return. We're talking more about living clean and how that creates awesome harmony in your life. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking about clean living. Are you living clean? A little bit of Clorox bleach? Gotta separate the whites from the colors. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Seriously, I remember when my mom taught me how to do my own laundry. I think I was like 5. I think I was like 5 years old when my mom taught me how to do my own laundry. I can't believe that so many kids nowadays have no idea how to do their laundry. And when I mean kids, I'm talking about y'all in your 20s. Yeah, I'm talking directly to y'all. Some of y'all are really good people, so it's okay. However, it's amazing to me. Like, I had to cook for myself and clean and do my own laundry. And it made me a better person, I think, because I can take care of myself. I'm not at the beck and call, like, having to wait for someone else to do it. But better yet, I find value in myself. And so let's talk about living clean. Living clean and creating harmony in your life. Because when we live clean, we actually create inner harmony. Yes. Yes, we do. When we live clean, we create inner harmony. The stress and burden is gone. You're no longer looking over your shoulder. You're not worried. A sense of calm cocoons you because you're doing the right thing. You're in the right place at the right time instead of the opposite where you should not be. I'm going to give a couple of examples right now because I think that it's needed. Okay, 2 different examples. I have one client that came in and has been coming in for about a series, I don't know, about 6 weeks now. And they're dealing with a gambling problem. And around the country, there are these private poker gambling halls that normally open up in people's big home somewhere. And they're private, and they basically start at 10 and they go to 2 a.m. And you can't pick up your winnings until the following day because of security reasons. They don't want people leaving with a lot of money at 2 a.m. in the morning, getting mugged, getting killed, what have you. But a lot of these people have some major gambling problems, okay? And a lot of these places, you know, they prey on that as well. They hope that that's the case. And one of my clients is, we are working right now to overcome his addiction to gambling. And he's getting better and better with it. And the cool thing is that all of a sudden, he is not where he should not be. He's actually finding himself where he should be. In the past, when he's gone to one of those poker houses, he's had to lie to his wife and tell her that he's working late. He's actually gone even as far as to make up business trips, stay at a hotel near the poker house, and then play poker, spend the night, and then come home the next day. And it got so bad, him lying to try to play and try to gamble, that his wife actually started thinking that he was having an affair or several affairs. And one time she caught him not out of town like he said he was, and that's what brought him into my office. Okay. He's gambling. Some of you would say, hey, well, at least he's not having sex behind his wife's back. I mean, that's something good. And I agree with you. I feel that, yeah, that's something good. But again, we're dealing, though, with an addiction to gambling. This is another addiction. This is something that we have to deal with. And if you're going to extremes to lie to your spouse that you're out of town for a business trip, putting yourself into all kinds of red flag zones to gamble, you are in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I've seen situations like this start like this, and because the addiction did not get under control, it basically spiraled out of control to a point where that person was in the wrong place at the exact wrong time, and something bad happened. And I'm not saying that happens across the board, but what I'm saying is that, yes, bad things can happen to you when you're in the wrong place. Sure, that's a given, first thing. Second thing, though, is that when you're in the place that you're not supposed to be at the time, you are missing out on something in your life. And it's like you're throwing off. Okay, so this is something you're probably not going to, I don't think you will hear anywhere else. And I'm sure there's going to be some beautiful people that will come around and start talking about this because it needs to be talked about. But I want to open up the line of discussion right now. I want to open it up, and I want to open it up for these years to come. When you're in the wrong place, not doing what you need to be doing, you're missing out on other things in your life, right? At the same moment, your life basically, what, stops. Your life, in a positive manner, actually stops. It stops growing in a certain direction. It's like a plant that's no longer getting light from one direction, right? So it starts growing its vines another way, its leaves, its branches another way to try to get around whatever is blocking the sun and to try to grow that direction. That's why you see some trees that have grown quite oddly, but they had to do it because of the light and the sun situation. So use that example of a tree. If you're growing straight up, you're doing really good, and you veer off and you stop living clean, you start growing in a different direction. What's been happening and all the great stuff that you've been doing kind of comes to a halt, because when you're in the wrong place at the time when you shouldn't be there, you take yourself out of a specific synchronicity and rotation. There's a specific rotation that all of us are on. Some of us choose to continue to do the losing rotation. Other of us have figured out how to stop doing the sabotaging rotation. Once you get off that self-sabotaging rotation, okay, I've been on that rotation. I've been on it. I went back on it and got back on it again, you know, because they had a full bar and some really cool people to talk to. Yeah, okay. I'm back off that rotation right now because I figure that when you go on that rotation, you have problems because a rotation takes you off of the direction that you should be living. So, for example, you're doing really well in your life. Your business, your career is great. Your marriage is good. Things are good, right? However, you have a gambling problem. You go to undercover gambling houses to gamble during the week when you're supposed to be at work or you're supposed to be at home. Eventually, something starts to suffer, right? Your job and your wife and your husband. Your job and your spouse and your marriage life, right? Think about it. So things start growing a different direction. Depending on how long you let that grow that different direction, the stuff that's growing well comes to a halt, but then it can actually start like digressing and downgrading. And it's almost like you're in that situation where you're trying to rotate the plates on the stick and you're trying to keep the plates up and moving around before the plates fall down and break. You can only do that so long when you're balancing so many plates in the air that it's very hard to do. And when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, when you should be somewhere else, you completely offset yourself. You move out of synchronicity. You completely move out of synchronicity. And you kind of move into this, like, I call it, like, it's like a gray zone. Nothing really happens. Nothing goes bad. Nothing goes good. If you continue to keep moving out of synchronicity, something's got to give, okay? But in the process, in the beginning, you kind of just come to a screeching halt. All the positive in your life is a screeching halt, and things keep kind of like, it's almost like Groundhog Day. You're not going to get past that until you move forward, okay? And it's totally true, because the more you're not living clean, the more your mind is fascinated and fixated on what is not good for your life. And I will tell you one thing, there will be people that will come into your life, and the better of a person you are and the good person you are, if you are an extremely good person at heart and you have a lot riding on things, okay, there will be people that will come into your life and they will try to do it over and over again. And I don't think that they consciously exactly know what they're doing, because I think it's all about their selfish ways, but they will try to get you off target. And they will do it in such a way that you'll actually be like, man, I'm really missing out. If I don't go hang out with them, I'm definitely missing out on something. Like, I'm missing out. I could be missing out on my future. And I advise you at this point in time that you can try it out. But I think you're going to realize eventually that those people who are off, out of synchronicity, are looking for other people to also be out of synchronicity with them. And the reason for that is because they're out of synchronicity. And one of the best things you can kind of guide yourself with, too, is that there's some people that you're never supposed to meet up with. You can make all the plans in the world, and it's never going to come to fruition. Okay? And sometimes that's a blessing. Every time, that's probably a blessing. However, when we fight and fight to make that a reality, that meeting a reality, we get what we get. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about living clean and about how clean living creates harmony. Good old harmony starts with an H-A-R-M-O-N-Y, harmony in your life. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. Back this time in, well, two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about clean living, how clean living creates harmony in your life. It does. I know for a fact it does, okay? It creates harmony. So when we're living clean, we get rid of the stress and burden. Our stress and burden is gone because we're no longer looking over our shoulder. We're no longer worried if we're going to be caught in our own lies and our own problems. We have a sense of calm. We have a sense of calm in our life. It's almost like a cocoon that's been wrapped around us. We find ourselves in the right place at the right time instead of being where we shouldn't be. And I know most of us are pretty good people. We live a pretty good life. But all of us at some point have gone off our path. And if you can remember last time, the time you went off your path, the last time, I know that you probably had a come to Jesus feeling, come to Jesus conversation when you were in the wrong place where you shouldn't have been. And if you have a conscience and you are compassionate, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're in the wrong place and you shouldn't have been there. And all you can think about is how you're going to get out of there and how you're going to get back to where you should be. And it might have taken a few minutes. And if you were drinking or something else, it could have taken you a few hours. However, you begin to come to your senses and realize that you need to go. And why is it that you feel this need to go? Why is it that you feel this urgent need to get the heck out of where you are and to run away? Because you know you are not supposed to be there. Your gut knows that you are not supposed to be there. And some of you actually even have that feeling where your gut begins to hurt, or you feel nauseated or sick to your stomach, or you get a massive migraine or a headache because you shouldn't be there and you're stressed out. Okay? I remember when I was a kid and I was getting involved with stuff. And I remember one time being in a place I shouldn't have been at. And all these other kids were there, and they were doing stuff that shouldn't be doing. And I remember I knew that I needed to get home. And the person I came with was driving, and they didn't want to leave. And I remember realizing, man, I'm like a good 7 miles, 8, 9 miles, 10 miles away from my house. So walking probably wasn't a good option. But I figured it out, and I got out of there, and I ended up getting a cab home. And I was pretty young at the time. And I knew that I was going to have to explain the cab when I got home to my parents since I was in high school. I knew I was going to have to explain the cab. But what I didn't want to have to explain was anything else, so I made sure I got out of there. And even as adults, we've been in these situations where we go somewhere or we do something or we find ourselves somewhere that we realize that in order for life to continue the way it's been going, I got to get up out of here. And I do believe that we can make mistakes because we are human. I don't think that one mistake, two mistakes, or three mistakes is going to damn you to damnation and cause, you know, the end of your life or the end of the good things in your life. But I do think that when we formulate a situation and create something to happen that we know is not right for us, that we know is going off target, we have to realize that this is one, premeditated. Anytime that we go off the rails and stop living clean, in a premeditated way. You know, like, you know how you hear about when people say the murder was premeditated. Okay. And then they have like the crime of passion. But it was a crime of passion, Jerry, from Seinfeld. So you can kind of think about life in those two terms. Crime of passion, which none of these I agree with, okay? But crime of passion means that something happened out of the blue in the moment of passion, right? Premeditated means that not only did you think about it, but you planned it. You planned it. So premeditated versus passion, crime of, right? So we got to think about this. So when we get off and stop living clean living and we go off that other direction, when we do that and it's premeditated, that's an added insult to injury. Because we're actually planning on going off the rails and screwing up our life, okay? So when we're planning to screw it up and we're premeditating to screw up our life, that adds insult to injury. Because think about it, we're actually calculating it, we're figuring it out, and we're actually committing ourselves to being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Meaning that time, the good stuff can't stop really at that moment and then regain itself later on down the road. Right now, we've actually turned our forces, we've turned our intent into something else. So think about it. Our intent changes. Okay, let me give you a good example. Here you go. Let's go back to that client that I'm dealing with. Gambling. Let's just say one night he's out with his friends. They're hanging out. He does not plan at all to go gambling. Did not go get money. Did not set up anything. Was planning on going home. And on the way home, his friend stops by one of those places. And he said he didn't want to stop by. And he ended up there. And in that situation, either gambled or went home, whatever. But, you know, felt bad about it, went home. On the flip side, leaves the house purposely, under the guise of hanging out with his friends, deliberately goes to the bank, gets money, goes to the gambling house, and gambles. He had, the entire time, had premeditated to do it. The entire time, he knew where he was going, and his intent move from the present intent to a futuristic intent, all based on an intent to get him off target and create a burden, create stress, remove that calm sense of cocoon, and be in the wrong place. And so all of a sudden, all that energy starts culminating in the wrong place at the wrong time. I realize, you know, it's kind of like about time. It's this whole stress is that you don't want to muck up the time that you have with unnecessary stress, drama, and demands. The more we muck up our life with unnecessary stress, drama, and demands, the more we miss the big picture and the more we get stuck in a two to three dimensional situation. Okay, so for example, If a man goes out and is having an affair on his wife, and he's constantly trying to hide that affair from his wife, he's really not ever really getting to spend time with the wife because the whole time he's trying to hide the affair. On the flip flop, he's still trying to hide the affair, but on the flip flop, with the person that he's having the affair with, he can't really ever spend time with her as well on a personal level because normally he's probably needing to be home by a certain time. So every time when he has sex or has relations with one woman, goes back home, he's probably thinking about that woman when he's with his wife. And when he's with the other woman, he's thinking about his wife. And so you create this entire life that no longer presents itself in its purity and its presence. It actually presents itself in the fact that it demonstrates and shows you kind of all the surface ways of getting to know people, but not only that, it creates drama and stress on both sides. I've had clients come into my office before who were juggling a wife or a husband, and then they had a mistress or a boyfriend on the side. And the thing that they always tell me, unilaterally, they always tell me that it becomes a job. And all of a sudden, eventually, as the relationship gets more and more, they feel like they should be with one person when they're with the other. And they also go even farther into talking about the fact that they lose time for themselves. They lose time to get to know themselves because they're too busy concentrating on the wife or the husband or the girlfriend or the boyfriend. And so their time becomes small because they're fielding calls from both. They're trying to see both so that one doesn't find out and the other doesn't get, jealous. But also on the same side, they're torn. And so they're living on this kind of 2-3-dimensional planet where it's kind of like they're not ever getting to the really cool existential meat of why we're here. They're too busy juggling drama on this planet. They can't see the nuances. They don't have the in-between times, okay? Because they completely and utterly miss it. Let's go back to the story that I told in the very beginning. Last night, had I not stopped for that lady, what would have happened? I would have been T-boned by that SUV that ran the stop sign at 30 miles an hour, okay? I probably wouldn't have been here to do this show. Who knows who else was in that vehicle? It was owned by a hotel. Who knows who was in there? The fact is that there would have been not such good stuff going on. Let's put me back in that car again. And I was running, which I was trying to get home, and I had gotten some groceries, and it was already a little late. Now let's add that with it. Now let's add the fact that I got something I'm hiding from my spouse. Let's add that I'm trying to juggle two lives or something like that, like a lot of people are out there. In that situation, you probably would have never seen her trying to walk across the street. You might have hit her. You might have beat your horn erratically because you knew that you needed to get home now because you've already been screwing up for this long. You better get home. At that point in time, you would have been in that accident. You wouldn't be thinking about the things outside of yourself because you're too busy trying to cover up what's going on. Stay tuned. We return. We're talking more about how to live clean and how to gain that harmony in your life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess, talking tonight about clean living and how it creates harmony in your life. You know, when we stop mucking up our life with unnecessary stress and drama and demands, our life opens like a flower. And I've been on the sides of that drama where you're constantly creating the drama. And a lot of people go, I just can't stand this drama. I can't believe this is all in my life. But you know what? You put it there. You created it. You allowed it. You opened your house to these people. You brought them in. You let them stay with you. Whatever it is that happened, you brought it into you. Nobody can just hand off drama to you and be like, here you go. Good luck with all that. Smell you later. No, you got to do it yourself. And so what I'm saying right now is when we live clean, we don't self-sabotage ourselves. And yes, to some degree, some of you might say, well, it gets a little boring. Well, it could be a little boring for some. But I mean, what are you really missing out on? I mean, really, if you really boil it down, what are you really missing out on? I mean, I think a lot of it is built up in our mind. It's like we build up all this stuff in our mind, and we create all this stuff in our mind, and we're like, yeah, if I could do that, that would be great. That'd be great. It'd be like old school again. I'd be like back in college again, getting crazy. But really, is it really that great? And to me, is it worth the stress and strain of looking over your shoulder? Is it worth the stress? Is it worth the drama? Is it worth taking your whole life off target and putting in pursuit and energy into something that doesn't need that energy? It's kind of like I talk to clients who, you know, they broke up with their boyfriend and it was a bad breakup and they moved on. And as they moved on and they got over him, their life started getting better. They started focusing more on their job. They started focusing more on their outside activities. One of them wanted to be an actress. She ended up landing all kinds of gigs. She landed a national commercial, okay? And after that, I remember seeing her, and all of a sudden, things kind of seemed to have slid down. And I was like, what's happening with the career? Oh, well, it's kind of on hold. What about the job? Well, you know, I kind of got written up a couple times, and what's going on? She's like, well, me and my ex got back together. I don't know if it's a good idea. And I said, how much time of the day do you think about this guy? She's like, I can't get my mind off of him. Everything was falling apart because all she could think about was this guy. She couldn't think about what was good for her life. She couldn't think about what was good for her career. Heck, she got a national commercial. You know what that's like? You know how much money you make on Resident? That's just one. And she was blooming as an actress. And I said, you know what? Your acting career and everything has stopped. Why? Because you've taken all your energy and focused on somebody who dropped you like a ton of bricks a year ago, and it took you 4 months to pick up the pieces, and now you're back again. And we've worked on that, and we've gotten that past, but she realized after several months later on and moving on that, yes, indeed, she had actually regained her relationship with him and allowed him and co-authored a roadblock for her life as him as the main character. He was the roadblock, but instead of like a big roadblock, he was a guy that stood in the way that she allowed to stay in the way of all her dreams and successes. You know, another thing about living clean is that lying is tough. Lying is tough. When we lie, it's not very healthy. When we lie, it's not very healthy. When we lie, we create problems in our life. When we lie, we create problems in our life. And we create them because the lying is actually tough on the spirit. I mean, you can hear people tell you how tough lying is, but let me tell you, it's tough on the spirit as well as it's tough on the psyche. Hence why people like to confess things, because lying tears them apart. I mean, what I like to tell my clients is that if you're going to have an affair on your spouse, you have to be able to figure out how you can do it without having to go to confession later on and ruining the family and upsetting everybody and losing complete trust, them losing trust for you. You got to realize that this is something you got to take on for the rest of your life. No matter if it was one night, it's yours to keep. And I'm being honest with you on that because it's tough. And I think it makes people question if they should do it or not. Because you can't expect to lie and then eventually come clean and let other people carry your burden for you. It's not fair. It's not fair. Just because you did some bonehead thing doesn't mean that it's fair that you go tell everybody about it. It's not. It's not. You did it. Man up to it. Woman up to it. And, you know, forgive yourself and let it go. But at the same point, remember how that took you off target from where you needed to be. And how long it took you to get back into, you know, appreciating your family. How long it took you to, get back to spending time with yourself. And also think about how long it took you to get a clear mind. And it's the same thing as like what I like to tell clients when they're thinking about taking a pharmaceutical drug for one reason or another. And I say, you know what? It's all about brain chemistry. Brain chemistry is a very exact chemistry. And all of us have a specific brain chemistry. If you're willing to try that drug, and perhaps, I don't like to use the word screw up, but change your brain chemistry, it's got to be worth it. Because it's going to take several weeks till several months for that brain chemistry to stabilize and to be normal. The same thing applies for when we go out and do something that we probably shouldn't be doing. The same thing applies. in order to get your mind back in order, to get back at ease, in order to deal with your spirit and the issue with your psyche, with the lying, to get over the stress, the drama, and the demands. Is it worth it? How long does it take to feel good? How long does it take for you to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and smile? And was it worth it? And I agree that we can make mistakes, and I agree that sometimes there can be crimes of passion. There can be things like, you know, okay, I wasn't planning on drinking, and I ended up drinking, honey, and I apologize. I took an Uber home. Again, I apologize. That's one thing. But knowing that you're planning on going out drinking and premeditating the entire evening and lying and saying that you're going to a cultural society event is not good, because that, again, goes back to the premeditated. When we premeditate things, we actually cause more strife and we actually cause more pain because the lying is premeditated. When we premeditate a lie, we actually have to build a story around it, create the story and build it around that, which makes it even more tougher. It's also laying even more groundwork that is all based on lies. That's a lot of foundation there in your mind based on lies that you didn't have to really necessarily deal with. Also, when we live clean, guess what? We don't have to explain to anybody. When we live clean, there is no more explanation. I mean, you have a friend, I'm sure, that, you know, God loves him, and I'm sure that this show is hitting home for a lot of people because of their friends. Think about it. When was the last time your buddy called you up and said, hey, man, if anybody asks you, I was with you last night? And you're like, oh, geez, you know what I mean? And you're like, man, I was with my wife and kids all night. I mean, what am I supposed to say? And so when you are living clean, you don't have to explain. You don't have to call your friends and tell them that, by the way, I was with you last night. By the way, we hung out and went to a play together. You're like, man, we don't even go to plays. Yeah, I know, but we went to a play last night. I mean, I've had that happen before where I had a friend of mine's wife call me. Oh, my gosh. And they hadn't called me in time. Ugh. And I didn't really want to lie either. And at the same point in time, you're like, man, I just don't want to do that. And when you're living clean, you don't have to cover your tracks. There's nothing wrong. You've done nothing wrong. And I think it all comes down to how do we feel and how does our conscience feel with who we are and who we are today? And if you can look at yourself in the mirror and smile and say, you know what, I'm proud of myself. I might have made a few mistakes, but you know what? I'm human, but I've moved through that and I've learned, and I'm really putting my energy and I'm putting my purpose into what? Into present perspective. When we live in the present and we live by a present perspective, we eliminate judgment, we overcome it, we live a clean life, and guess what? We reap the benefits on all levels. I got a great show for you next, and stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. I'll be back this time in 3 clean shakes.